This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
MP on the mic, 910 The Fan, 105.1 FM. Welcome aboard. It's a Thursday morning. Thursdays with friends, as we call it around here. Gary Hess drops by in about 15 minutes. Parney, he's the guy with the pants. You know him. You love him. He's here at 11. As you know, on Thursdays, Parney is here to pick football games. Well, boy, do we have a rocket of a football game for him tonight,
folks. Oh, we're getting a lock?
Parney's whole existence on this show. Well, he does multiple things. He promotes the Squirrels, which he doesn't need to be here for us to promote the Squirrels. We're the home of the Squirrels. We mention every day how the Squirrels did when the Squirrels play. It's not essential that we have Parney here for that, but he certainly adds a dimension to that. He promotes Parney Time, the podcast/radio show that airs Saturday and Sunday mornings. But primarily, when we started the Parney segment all those years ago, back when we had black and white radio, we weren't even in full color yet, it was to predict football games against the spread. And we're in the long, cold offseason. Well, today, Parney gets to make a selection. Will he take the Chargers and a point and a half, or will he lay the point and a half and take the Detroit Lions on the neutral field of Tom Benson Stadium in Canton, Ohio?
So there is real betting. I was opening FanDuel because I was curious.
Yeah.
So they did set a line.
They're setting a line.
Wow.
You look up degenerate in the dictionary, and there's a guy throwing 10 grand at the Hall of Fame game.
What would you even...
Here's what I don't... Because the Hall of Fame game has a very spotty record of being completed. That is not a given at the Hall of Fame game that they're going to make it to the finish line. Last year it rained, and everybody's like, it's kind of wet.
Yeah, we're done.
I think we came here for.
They still gave out a winner.
But does it still pay? Does the bet still... do you need 60 minutes to get... Because if I had... Say I've got the Chargers plus 1.5. They're driving. The game's cut short. And they lose by one. I'm a little salty, right? In a complete game scenario.
I see what you mean.
Right?
There's one player prop for the entire game.
One player prop posted.
Trey Lance to throw a touchdown pass on his first offensive drive.
All right. So.
So we're just betting on anything.
Yeah. And I zero sympathies for anybody who gets jobbed tonight in Hall of Fame game betting. That's certainly not. Anybody's... Go bet on the Harlem Globetrotters, really. They have lines
Savannah
on the
Bananas.
They have lines on that. Yeah, you could do lines on the Savannah Bananas because they're actually there's a winner and a loser there. The Bananas, don't win every
exactly.
night. Yeah, so you could have legitimate betting on that. It's the Hall of Fame game. It's in Canton. It's the show.
Do people stat track? What's Stilt Guy's OPS? The guy only hits on stilts.
I want to know... over under number of backflips attempted during today's game. Yeah. I'd do a Savannah Bananas line.
I think you said attempted because we've all seen a Savannah Banana
right?
fail a backflip.
It's happened before. I think there's $1 billion to be made on that. They're putting them on TV now. They sell out. There's 60,000 people in the stadium. I think there's money to be made.
I'm all in on this.
Yeah.
$1 billion.
We're slumming it here for 10 Odyssey points a month, and we could be billionaires. Inventing the Savannah Bananas betting app.
I hear some on this station don't get it, and I don't get them not getting it.
The Bananas?
Yeah.
Not AWOD Radio, noon to three every day.
I'm talking about DC.
Whew.
I think Danny specifically, and maybe Grant too.
Okay. Grant, they're both baseball guys. I feel like they need to lean into it a little bit more.
How do you not get... Like, people go to sports for fun.
Yeah.
To watch a fun game. Like, not everyone...
Nobody's suggesting that 100% of all baseball games should be played in that format.
Exactly.
Nobody's suggesting that. What we're saying is, once a summer as a little change of pace, it's a delightful piece of entertainment.
Especially like if you're getting into it, like yeah. you don't follow sports.
Yeah.
You go out there.
I mean, was there a Harlem Globetrotters discourse when they first started?
I'm wondering this too.
Are there,
oh, that's not real basketball.
Like, was Dean?
Why would I watch?
Was
that?
Dean Smith at ACC Media Day grousing about the Harlem Globetrotters? Was that a thing that happened back in the day? Presumably. And what's the football version of this?
I don't think we have one yet.
And when's that going to happen?
Or a hockey one?
Well,
I don't think we're getting a hockey one.
I don't think we're getting a hockey one either. I think there's. The skill level inherent in playing hockey does not lend itself to also doing other entertainment
tricks.
Things during
They're
that
time.
They're
already hitting each other so hard.
It's a wildly entertaining product.
No, there is one. It's the one where you don't have skates, but you're still on ice. That's a real game.
Yes, that's the one. I've always said there's room for a 7-on-7 football league, a spring league. Now, that's not this, obviously. That's still football. Mm-hmm. Just no offensive line, no defensive line. Every play is a pass. I've always said there's room for that in the spring. It's like a little palate cleanser
well,
football
like
thing.
A flag spring league.
Yeah, but I think there's room to mix in.
Or maybe they do play in the spring.
Here's why the bananas works. Baseball, I love baseball. You know I love baseball. Baseball has a lot of dead time. And they fill the dead time with entertainment.
Yes. Yeah.
Which is perfect. Football, I love football, has a lot of dead time.
Yeah.
I mean, between plays, between series, there's a lot, like in an average football game, more time is spent not playing football than playing football. I think it lends itself to whatever that entertainment element is. We'll talk to Parney about this because we did a podcast, a Parney Time podcast, a couple weeks ago with the guy who was the original Philly Fanatic, the green mascot with the giant nose. He invented it. And he was talking about how like they started and he was like walking around the stands. And he said it didn't take off until he went down on the field and started performing, doing bits for everybody.
Mm-hmm.
And that was right. So football's got room for that. The ball's at the 20 going in the red zone. You got a whole 50 yards to work with between plays to stage entertainment for the other side of the stadium.
There's a lot. I mean, the take from the Savannah Bananas.
Yes.
Let the crowd overturn a call.
Sure.
That's a great bit.
There was a football league a few years ago, one of these fly-by-night leagues, that did the fans could call the plays on their phones. So between
that's
plays,
funny.
You voted on an app, and whatever the majority was, that's the play they ran. I thought that was a great concept,
and
too.
And the crazy stuff, like you got one guy on the team who's like in one of those like balls, like the full plastic balls.
The hamster ball?
Yep. You know, just get a guy out there, and he trucks people.
How do you tackle?
He's on the he's only on the defense.
How do you tackle hamster ball guy?
He's on the defense.
He
goes for the tackle.
Running back in the hamster ball, you can't tackle him.
No.
You can only push him out of bounds.
That's good, too.
But can the offense pick him up and throw him over the line? Like, you need a yard?
Can they physically do that, I guess?
We can find people
to
do
that. We can find people who can do
that. We can find a small enough running back, and we can find a large enough line.
Well, I guess you don't need a running back in there. You can put anyone in there. They're not doing anything if you're in the ball. You can put Tress Way in there and then throw him.
We can't risk damaging Tress Way. We'll pick a fan. We'll throw a fan over the ball. The real football's happening, too. Washington Commanders are at training camp this morning, practicing as we speak. You'll hear from Coach Dan Quinn at 11:30 on today's program. I have a lot of topics I want to get to. First off, it's 8:04 day, Saturday. 8:04 day is the celebration of all things Richmond stuff, as you know, which has traditionally happened on August 4th.
8:04. That would make sense.
Saturday is August 2nd, 8:02.
Mm-hmm.
But because 8:04 is a Monday this year, they rescheduled it to Saturday.
All right, I'll allow it.
I'm not prepared to allow it. I just think this is a day that's really firmly tethered to the number. This isn't like we're going to do the Halloween party on Saturday because Halloween's on a Tuesday. This is pretty firmly tethered to the number itself. Secondly,
but there are so many area codes that perhaps end the second number is higher than a 3, and they get by.
So, like, it's 757, you mean?
Yeah.
They don't have a day.
Yeah, exactly.
We have a day. That's why it's
hypothetically
special.
Hypothetically, we have a day.
We have a day, and it's Monday, and we'll friggin' celebrate it on Monday. As part of 804 day, they name an official dog of Richmond for the year. Yes. I just texted you a picture of this year's official Richmond dog. His name is Marshmallow. He's a very good boy. Look at that.
This is great.
Very cute dog.
This is great.
Yeah. What's the breed there? That's kind of husky-ish.
It's husky-ish.
That's a cold...
But it's not... I've seen this before.
It's a cold weather dog.
Can we have a pet mare? I've recently been hip to a story about a pet mare. I don't know if you know about this. It's fantastic. It was a goldfish for many years in this small town. And the goldfish would occasionally pass away and secretly get replaced.
Oh.
And the town did not know.
Oh, my goodness. No.
It was a whole controversy.
Uh-oh. No.
Yeah.
I would be fine with the dog.
I think his name was Cheez-It.
I'd be 100% fine with the dog as mayor.
Me too.
Hey, there's the mayor. Let's go pet him.
Exactly.
Yeah, I feel better.
Every time you have to open a place and cut a ribbon,
feel good.
Marshmallow's there.
All right. There was a cat who served as honorary mayor of the town of Talkeetna, Alaska, for 20 years. The town had no real mayor, so they elected the cat as a joke after residents were unhappy with the human candidates. The cat's name, Stubbs. Stubbs the cat, honorary mayor of Talkeetna, Alaska. Stubbs the cat has a full Wikipedia page, an entry there. So
that's incredible.
A long and distinguished history of service. Thank you for your service, Stubbs the cat.
Wow. This is blowing my mind.
Phenomenal opening segment. We've set the bar high. Gary Hess joins us. He's the sports director at 910 The Fan on the other side. You're listening to 910 The Fan at 105.1 FM.
This is MP on the mic on Sports Radio 910 The Fan and 105.1 FM.
MP on the mic, 910 The Fan, 105.1 FM. Fun's back. Welcome, Gary Hess.
How's it going, man? I feel like we should introduce ourselves or something.
I still have to. Yeah, I'm Michael Phillips. I do this radio program, allegedly. We're back now until Bud Light Big Game Week in San Francisco in February. All gas, no brakes, as they say.
Wow.
Yeah, absolutely. Gary Hess, sports director, 910 The Fan, and soon to be back on the mic for high school football, which we know and love around here.
Yeah, and I was telling Rich downstairs just this morning, I am really looking forward to it, but I'm still glad it's several weeks away.
Yeah, I think that's a fair take. All right, you raised an interesting question to me during the break. You made a great dad joke. It was phenomenal. I said, Jaden Daniels is talking to the media today, which he doesn't normally do. So, well, I think he talks every day.
Right.
Have you ever had a day where you go the whole day without saying anything? And I think I might have.
Well, no.
I think I probably have.
I don't think I've ever gone a day without talking. Now, there may have been plenty of days where I didn't
say anything. Well, we talked for 2 hours. Are we saying anything? That's for the listeners to decide.
I don't think, first of all, in lieu of any other marketable skills, I talk for a living.
Yeah.
My parents are like, my parents, my kids, were always like, Dad, you talk too much. And
yeah.
I was like, well, that's what I do.
Obviously, in the kid era, we talk every day. That's an easy way. But I'm pulling back to like pre-kids, pre-marriage. I'm on the road, like it's training camp. We're like in the heat. You get the off day. I just sit on my bed in the hotel on the off day, like get pick up food and crash and like get ready to do it again. I think there may have been days. The question is like, did I take a phone call that day? I don't know if I did or not. I think there's a chance.
It's a fair question. So you're telling me there's a chance.
So you're saying there's a chance. Absolutely.
Yeah, there's a chance, but it's highly unlikely, knowing me.
I agree that it's more likely for me than you.
Right.
Absolutely. Bryce Harper plays for your Philadelphia Phillies.
Yes, he does.
Which I'm still a little salty about.
It's fair.
But
it's been a few years. You can get over it now.
Thank you. By the way, one of the great sports divides of all time is Bryce Harper winning the Home Run Derby in Washington, D.C. People who were there, me included, will tell you that is a top five moment in Nationals history. It was an electric night. Him winning it in front of the hometown crowd is truly maybe the loudest I've ever heard that place. Because you remember the World Series games were all duds. You know, maybe the Brewers wild card game. But that may have been the most electric I've ever seen that place. But you talk to people who just watched it on TV, And they'll dismiss, they'll tell you, that's the stupidest take I've ever heard. It's an exhibition event. I think it was an incredibly meaningful moment for the city and the franchise. People who were not there will tell you it was a dumb home run derby.
So you said it is a top five what?
Moment in Nationals history.
Okay, so it doesn't say, nowhere in that statement does it say anything about a game. It was a moment.
It was.
And whether you like the home run derby's existence or not, that doesn't change the fact that it was a moment, and it was at Nats Park. So your take is legit.
Look at that. Gary Hess, peacemaker here on 910 The Fan. But Bryce Harper was not the peacemaker this week. Reportedly got in the face of Commissioner Rob Manfred and said to get the freak out of my clubhouse if you're going to come talk about
salary cap.
And he would not PG-ing it in there. I just want to say, Gary, Phillies hating aside, Bryce Harper saltiness aside, I love it.
I came in and told you. I, first of all, I love Harper as a Phillies fan for the same reason Nats fans loved him when he played for the Nats. And that is because of the way he plays the game. He doesn't do anything halfway. Plays his butt off. I love the fact that they moved into first base. You know what he did? He worked his butt off and became a really good first baseman.
Mm-hmm.
He is a leader in that clubhouse. But I just love the fact that he just, as big a fan as Bryce Harper as I am, I'm even more of a fan now.
Oh, no question.
just Breaking Bad on Manfred. I just love it.
You lived through the baseball strike in 94, which bagged the World Series. I was a kid. It was a formative event of my sports fandom childhood. And I believe that for a lot of people, it was, it tilted the axis of power to football in America. Like, it was debatable what the biggest sport in America was before that moment. It has not been debatable in any year since.
No, that was a TKO.
You had a brief Maguire-Sosa moment where baseball was back on, but baseball hasn't caught the juice since. I think we're headed for another one next year. And I think we're going to be talking about like soccer catching baseball at this point. I think if they miss another full year of baseball, I think it's going to be really bad.
Yeah, I think it's going to be. And I think somebody needs to get both sides in a room and say, listen, the sport can't afford this.
No.
So let's figure it out.
Yeah.
And so hopefully that's what's going to happen. Because baseball's a great game. And it's, the sporting landscape's better when baseball's a part of it. So I'm hoping that happens. Now, having said that, I'm not holding my breath, but I'm hoping.
Look, I'm a Royals fan. We don't spend a lot of money, ever. And I feel like a lot of the problems that were created by the Dodgers and the Yankees spending all the money have largely been solved by the incredible randomness of the postseason. When you let all the teams into the playoffs and say, let's do a three-game series to see who advances,
right?
It's kind of taken care of it and allow it, because the Royals can beat the Dodgers 2 out of 3 in any game. They can't win 110 games.
Wait, you think about the Arizona. 2 years ago, it was the Arizona Diamondbacks who went through and made it to the World Series.
Yep.
Last year, it was the Dodgers and the Yankees. So,
and that'll happen.
Yeah, exactly.
That'll happen. But that's not the norm.
Right.
In 100%. Baseball. Yeah. It's not the norm because you've got so much randomness baked into a 3-game or even a 5-game series. Yeah. You're not going to sort out who the better team is.
Right. And, and sometimes you don't even do it in a 7-game series.
That's true. That's true as well. We did last year in the World Series.
Yeah.
We got it pretty definitively sorted out last year with
yes,
the Dodgers.
We yeah. did. Freddie Freeman saw to that. Once he hit that homer in game one, that was pretty much that.
Exactly. Gary Hess is with us, as he is on Thursdays, as it is now and shall be through the high school football season. What's your training camp schedule? Like, do you go visit the teams, make some calls, do the... Yeah, I know you get everybody together. Is it extra billies? Everybody gets together? That's a tentpole event.
You talking about Chris and I?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. It's different places. We don't always go to the same place. But
yeah.
There's usually beverages involved. It's the only way to make a schedule. So that meeting has not happened. We wanted to do it this week, but I've been derailed by my run-in with a moving pickup truck.
Have you told that story on air?
I have not.
Do you want to? Do you want to give the Cliff Notes version?
The Cliff Notes version. Basically, I have an old pickup truck. I parked it in front of my house, put it in park. It's 26 years old, so things aren't perfect with it. I've used it to go to the dump and stuff. and I needed to move my car a little bit, so I put it in park, jumped out. It didn't engage in park, started rolling backwards.
Uh-oh.
I tried to catch up to it, jump in to stop it, and it didn't work.
Oof.
That's and so banged up my leg, hit my head. Could have been a whole lot worse.
You're playing through it, though.
I am.
I respect that. There's some toughness here.
Yeah, well, you know, you got to bring your, you know, you just answer the bell, do what you got to do. All the other appropriate cliches. So
Will Geary has to watch the Hall of Fame game tonight.
The what?
On television. The,
no.
The exhibition football game.
I will not.
All right. Neither will I. Good good segment.
I will not. I will not. Back in the day, I would watch the very beginning when the starters would actually play a series or two.
My favorite part of the broadcast is always because they're in Canton and they're doing the Hall of Fame stuff. They always interview the Hall of Famers, incoming Hall of Famers, on the sideline.
Right.
That's my favorite part of the broadcast.
Yeah, totally
is
agree.
When they do that. So I'd watch a show about the Hall of Famers. They're also unveiling the top 100. The players vote on the best players. So that's happening in the next couple of days as well. I'll dial into that because I love players fighting about other players.
Oh, yeah. That's awesome stuff.
That's the good stuff.
So,
Geary, thank you for dropping by. Good to get this party started again.
Yeah, good to get the party started again. So let's take next week off.
All right, let's take next week off. I can't take next week off. I'm tapped out of vacation time, Geary.
I understand.
I'm out.
I understand. I got one more respite, then I'll be digging into high school football full bore. So.
One more, and then we're back. And then when's the first game? Do we know?
We have it set day matchup, but it's looking like Thursday night, August 28th.
So that is right around the corner.
Yes.
That is 4 weeks away.
Yes, it is.
From today, which is exciting.
Thursday the 28th, Friday the 29th. Most of the games are on Thursday night. So that leading into Labor Day weekend there.
Somewhere. Yes, get everybody out of town somewhere on the Thursday.
Somewhere in that lead into Labor Day weekend, we will have a game.
College has moved a lot of games to the Thursday as well that week. They've started doing that as well. I've never understood so many great college matchups in week one, and we wasted on the holiday weekend. But if I were in charge, I'd change a lot of things about college football.
If you know, if ifs and buts, Skip Carey, you say if your Aunt Millie had a mustache, she'd be your Uncle Fred.
All right, Link Cassadina on the other side. Geary has everybody. We're back after this. You're listening to 910 The Fan at 105.1 FM.
This is MP on the mic. On Sports Radio 910 The Fan and 105.1 FM.
And be on the mic, 910 The Fan, 105.1 FM worldwide on the free Odyssey app. Welcoming in friend of the program, friend of Lane Cassadante. He's the sports director at CBS6. Lane was a little jealous of you yesterday. Popped open the old social media feed. Saw you at one of my favorite places, Camden Yards.
Yeah, you weren't jealous of driving up at 6 in the morning and driving back at noon either, though. So
I'm doing I'm going to go do Virginia Tech Football Media Day next Wednesday down in Blacksburg, which is a great event. You know, and I need to catch up on the Hokies after the offseason. I love talking to those guys, but I got to really psych myself up for that. Baltimore's that as well.
Unfortunately, I was talking with Travis Wells, who's the sports information director down at the Hokies, and I was asking him, okay, when's your day going to be? And unfortunately, it's the day I have to be out of town again, so I can't make that trip. I have done it many, many times. The ride really, really never gets any shorter. However, I will say, driving to Virginia Tech, you do not encounter any inch of the D.C. Beltway, which is always a good thing.
I would take the 3.5-hour drive to Blacksburg over the 3-hour drive to Baltimore, just because of the circumstances, in a straight head.
Yeah, and that 3 hours to Baltimore can easily turn into 5 and at a moment's notice for no particular
reason. I've seen that show. Was it as hot up there yesterday for day baseball as it was down here?
Yeah, it was. It was steamy. You know, the Orioles the folks at Camden Yards were dragging yesterday morning at 9 a.m. because they had just done a day-night doubleheader the day before, and then they got right back up, and everybody was back at the ballpark by 8:30 the next morning. So I think. But and then yesterday was a 9-8 game, 17 runs. It probably took forever. I think by the time that final out was recorded yesterday, they were ready to just go home and crash.
When I am commissioner of baseball, we are banning day-night doubleheaders. But I will not be commissioner of baseball because I don't want to deal with Bryce Harper in my face. That doesn't sound pleasant.
Yeah. You know, I don't know. The irony of that argument kind of smacked me in the face because, you know, one of the highest paid players in the game is going to worry about a salary cap. Is like, you know, I don't know. There's just something about that argument that just didn't quite sit right with me. And I understand where Harper is coming from, but it's, you know, it's not quite about him. And he, you know, what did you do? You went from one team that you didn't think could afford you to a team that you know could. And, you know, a salary cap where we've seen in the NFL and in the NBA is it's designed for two reasons. Number one, it's designed to police the owners against themselves because they have no self-control whatsoever. Yep. And it's also just, and I know it's designed to maximize profits for the teams, but it's also, it serves a, it serves a competition purpose where you're trying to make the playing field as level as possible for everyone. And I understand why the players would not want any kind of artificial limitation on what they can earn. None of us would, but sometimes you really have to see the greater picture for the greater good, and a good compromise leaves everybody upset anyway.
I don't think they'll be able to get all the owners on the same page, because to me, the only way you can legitimately do a full equal salary cap in baseball would be to pool the TV money. And I find it hard to believe the Steinbrenners, the Dodgers ownership, those groups are going to say, yeah, put all our money in a pile and we'll share it with the Sacramento A's.
Oh, yeah. Baseball is far too regionalized. Unlike any of the other three big-time North American sports, they are ridiculously regionalized and to a certain extent to their detriment because nobody's putting money into the same pot. And you're right. I don't think you can get the ketchup back in that bottle, and they're probably going to have to look for other ways to try to, balance their playing field.
Yeah, college sports is going through it too. They're working on the revenue sharing, the caps, but there's always going to be ways around that for the rich teams. The Yankees aren't going to give up their advantage that easily. The Dodgers, it's not just American money for the Dodgers. They're Japan's team now as well. There's that money's always going to flow in on a very regular and very lucrative basis. Lane Casadante joins us on Thursdays as we roll towards the football season. You're not just in baseball land, Lane. Final Score Friday is underway. You guys have started your football previews, you and Sean. That's a big moment here as we start the clock on a new season.
It's already here. Practice could start today. One team, the Huguenot Falcons, had their version of Midnight Madness overnight because you could start on July 31st. So they started at about 12:30 a.m., which was technically July 31st. And Sean and I will get around to roughly 45, 46 programs here in Central Virginia over the next 3 or 4 weeks. It's our 31st season of Final Score Friday. It's 13 weeks of the show, which encompasses 25% of the yearly calendar, if you think about it. It's a quarter of the year. It's the fastest season. It goes by so quick, and I don't think there's anything we do that resonates more with the viewers and fans in this area than high school football. It is just something that this entire area rallies around and looks forward to every year as much as we do.
It's so fun every year, and it feels like you've got a bigger time frame than me. I've been here 18 years. It feels like it gets better every year, too. It just feels like the quality of play here has really taken a big leap over the last 5-10 years.
Well, it's Sean and I we physically counted up the numbers, and Justin, you can remember your early days here, and really my early days here. Virginia and Virginia Tech always had, you know, a bunch of state players that filled their rosters. And for one reason or another, That was under Frank Beamer and George Welsh. And for one reason or another, the staffs that have been there in between when those two gentlemen left, and now, you know, they've had different priorities, they've had different visions, you know, some recruiting lines and, you know, relationships have fallen by the wayside. They've been rebuilt. But Sean and I counted up, and between the two teams, Virginia and Virginia Tech have over two dozen 804 players on their rosters combined. Virginia, I think, has 14 this year just from the Richmond area, and I don't know that I've ever seen that many. Now, there's multiple reasons for that, but one of the reasons, to your point, is that, yeah, the level of play in this area has risen a little bit. The Power Five programs or the transfer portal do not offer as many opportunities to high school kids. It's just the way the game is right now. And I think it's to their detriment, and it's definitely to the detriment of the players that are coming out of high school. There just aren't that many opportunities for them because coaches will just go to the transfer portal and get somebody that's already got 2 years of experience to plug a hole on their roster. But we are seeing a lot of players get opportunities, at least locally and regionally here, with, you know, programs like South Carolina, North Carolina, Maryland. So you don't have to go far to find and watch the kids that you watch grow up playing on Friday night play on Saturday in the fall.
It's so fun to watch them succeed at the next level, and so many examples. Kelvin Gilliam, obviously, just the most recent, a guy who we're going to be calling his name a lot this year, and seeing them excel and in big seasons for Tech and UVA as well. I'm sure we'll be talking about that a lot as well. Of course, we've been Commanders Training Camp Central all week long. Lane, I'm not wrong often, and I say that not to toot my own horn. I just don't do the show a lot. That's my way of reducing the number of wrong takes I give. But you texted me, and I was texting with you ahead of training camp, and I said, I don't see any way the Terry McLaurin deal doesn't get done before day one of training camp, which I firmly believed at the time, and had chatted with people, and they believed that as well. We're a week in now. No signs of budging yet. How surprised are you, and do you want to take a look in your crystal ball here? What does the next week look like?
I had the same information that you did. I was told that this was going to be done, you know, maybe the day before camp opened, and I'm as surprised as you are and everybody else. It tells me that the two sides are not close, because if you're close, you know, you can work on things and you can get somebody in and you can agree to, you know, the phrase that we always hear is the framework of a deal, which means, you know, that there's little odds and ends that you need to iron out, but you don't see them as a major stumbling block to getting a player to sign. We're not to that point. And what surprises me is that, you know, Terry is holding very strong in what he did last year, and he had a fantastic season last year.
Yep.
And he and his agent know what he means to this program, to this team, and to the fan base. But the team is kind of they have to be digging their heels in as well. Otherwise, this would have been done. And what surprises me is that Adam Peters and Josh Harris have let this go on as long as they have, which means they're holding firm. And it doesn't really look like a resolution. Somebody's going to have to cave a little bit because this isn't going to get done otherwise. I know he's in camp. He's got 1 year left on his deal. It wouldn't surprise me at this point now to watch him play this year. If he has another good year, the dreaded franchise tag comes out because they don't have anybody on a franchise tag this year. And you would hope it wouldn't get to that point, but both of these sides are entrenched, it would appear, because – it doesn't look like there's much movement either way.
It's two guys. You know, Adam Peters' first big deal as general manager. He's trying to make a statement about how he does business. And, of course, for Terry's agent, Buddy Baker, this will be the biggest deal he's done yet. He's not a Jerry Maguire. He's not a super agent. You know, this is the one he wants to put himself on the board. And I'm a little surprised they haven't met in the middle yet, but hopefully they do, because the season definitely will not be the same without number 17. Lane, anything you want to tell us about CBS 6 in your weekend lineup here before you bounce?
We are, Sean and I are getting out to as many, all the high school programs. We'll get to as many of them each day as we can. Go to WTVR.com. We will have our synopsis and previews and interviews with coaches up as we get to them. Keep checking the page every day. We will get to your school, I promise. We've reached out to every coach, and they've all given us their schedule. So now it's just a matter of getting out and talking to all of them. It's here. Everybody's now in camp. The Spiders start tomorrow, and the season, for all intents and purposes, has begun already.
Sources very close to the situation say Lane does not, in fact, hate your school. He's just a very busy man this time of year. Him and Sean, WTVR.com. Catch him on CBS 6. Lane, thanks for making some time for us this morning.
All right, Mike, thanks for having me. Have a great weekend, everybody.
You bet. We're back after this. Jaden Daniels spoke with reporters about 10 minutes ago. We'll play that for you on the other side. You're listening to 910 The Fan at 105.1 FM. MP on the mic, 910 The Fan, 105.1 FM worldwide on the free Odyssey app. Thursdays with Friends rolls on. What Parney on? At 11, his first opportunity to select a football game against the spread this year, should he dare to take on the Hall of Fame game in Canton, Ohio. We're playing football tonight. Chargers, 1.5-point underdogs to the Detroit Lions. If you're the true degenerate type, if you gotta have money on it to make it interesting, it's probably the Hall of Fame game at Tom Benson Stadium in Canton, Ohio.
Call this worse than summer league betting.
Here's the thing. Football. I love football. I love NFL football. I don't need money on the Commanders to make them interesting. If I were watching tonight's game, I would actually need... this is actually the time for sports betting. I need the sweat. I need something. It's like, we went to Colonial Downs the other day. The horses race is like, okay, that's fine. It doesn't get interesting, though, until there's $10 riding on it. That's when horse racing gets interesting. If you need money on it to make it interesting, it's the Hall of Fame game in Canton, Ohio. Commanders rolling with training camp. Day off tomorrow. Day off yesterday. They did a lot of red zone work today. But Jaden Daniels made his second press conference appearance of the season about 10 minutes ago. Stubbs right on top of that. He's going to play that for us right now. We'll break it down as soon as we listen. Here is Jaden Daniels on your home of the Commanders, 910 The Fan.
Something to getting to know them off the field and who they are and what they like. With Jalen Lane, Sam Diego looks like you've been building a chemistry. What have you kind of learned about him as a guy and that speed out on the field? How have you learned about that?
Yeah, the guy doesn't say a lot at all. So I think me and him kind of got that in common. I might talk a little bit more to him, but he's willing to learn. And, that's what you just want from people, that are willing to continue to grow and want to develop and learn. So that's the biggest thing for sure.
To Corey Kroski, Bill. Yeah. Do you call him Bill?
I do call him Bill.
Everybody calls him Bill?
That's Bill.
That's
Bill.
What do you think of him, just in what he's done on the field in the first week, and have you gotten to know him much off the field?
Yeah, he's really good with his one cut and getting north and south, and his vision. He's coming along, so I'm excited to see what he does coming forward versus, in different joint practices versus in preseason games, stuff like that. So I'm excited for him.
I know you watched a ton of ball. You've been around these guys a while now. Are there any guys that you start playing with and they're even better or just different from what you've seen on film?
Oh, you're talking about people like
Debo or Ertz or guys you've watched before? Are they
that are even better than on film? I mean, LT, Vaughn, Debo. I mean, all the guys that we got, just watching them on Sundays play for some time and now watching them up close and personal, you can see why Vaughn is going to be a Hall of Famer. You can see why LT is one of the top left tackles in the league. You can see why Debo was all pro. You just see those guys and those talents that they have.
Hey, Jaden. Since Terry's been back in the building, kind of what's been your level of communication with him, what are you two able to accomplish now that he is back, at least in the building?
It's great having Terry back in the building, and we just communicate like a normal day. Talk about ball, we talk about life, so nothing's changed at all.
And the last time you were in here, you talked about the great connection you guys formed last year. It's going to come back That being said, you know, it's 1 year you guys have had together. How important is it to you that he's able to get back on the field sooner than later to sort of continue to build on what you had last year?
I mean, I think it's super important for everybody. Just get as many rests as possible before the big show, the real thing is to happen. But I know the time will come. And till then, I mean, if that's us getting in the film room and watching film and just talking, that's other ways we could do it. But, I mean, like I said, man, it's nothing's changed since Terry's been back in the building. When he's out of the building, you know, we always talk. We talk ball, talk life. And so nothing's changed at all.
Kind of after a bunch of plays, we've seen you and Bobby Wagner, or you and Mikey Sanders, still kind of talking trash to each other, having a little bit of fun. How much does that help with the competition in camp, kind of having that kind of relationship in the second year, kind of knowing those guys a little bit better?
Yeah, I mean, I don't necessarily talk trash. I mean, I challenge. Let's say that. You know, Bobby. You know, with Bobby, you're trying to play a chess. It's a chess match, so he might make a call. I might make a call. So just understanding what he's doing and what he's trying to accomplish. But also, I mean, I also challenge Joe Witt too a little bit. You know, just the competition. You know, we're here to get better. We're here to push each other so we could be the best version of ourselves come week one.
AJ, and a lot's been made between year one, year two. Can you tell a difference after seven training camp practices this year that it's night and day from a year ago?
Yeah, I think so. Just like I said, just being more comfortable in the offense, another year under my belt, under the system, and trying to understand what Cliff is calling, what we want to accomplish as an offense. And I got different tools in my tool belt, as Coach OG Johnson, Bobby Johnson would say, having tools in my tool belt to get to different protections, get to different runs versus certain looks. So, yeah, most definitely a night and day.
That's Jaden Daniels. He's the quarterback of the Washington Commanders, in line for a big second season. If you listen to the people hanging out around the program, chatted with reporters. That was about 18 minutes ago, bringing it to you right here on your home for the Commanders in Richmond, 910 The Fan, now at 105.1 FM. That was a lot of nicknames. We really went rapid fire with the nicknames there. The OG, the LT, he was firing them off. Jaden is nickname guy. He's got a nickname for everybody in the building. He's not walking around like, hey, champ. All right, sport.
Do you think he's passing them on, or is he making these?
I mean,
it's not the most creative thing in the world to come up with LT.
I don't think he's making 100% of them up, no, but I think he's embracing it. I think he is creating a nickname culture inside Commanders Park in Ashburn. We talk about Dan Quinn. We talk about culture. Talk about the importance of togetherness. He's given everybody a nickname. That's him doing his part right there for the culture. He's going to be a great quarterback. He's going to give you a nickname. That's all you can hope for out of your star quarterback. I'm pre-wired to like anything he does because he's Jaden Daniels.
Right, yeah.
Did you hear that Jaden Daniels is giving people nicknames? I love nicknames. Big nickname guy. Always have been. Absolutely. I just need him to call me MP. We'll play that all day long in the promo right there. Yeah. I like the kid. I think he works hard. I think he's exactly what you want in a franchise quarterback. Hope he has a big year. I hope he gets 17 back. I think that's a big part of having a big year. You heard a little more Ja'Cory Kroski, Merritt Love there from Jaden Daniels, Bill, as he's nicknamed. That's a little bit Griffin Biff vibes there, I got to say. Just saying. A little bit of those vibes there. To me, this is a preseason infatuation. I don't think he's active for week one of the regular season. I really don't. I think you're going three active first week of the regular season. You can't have four running backs active in a given game unless you have injury issues, and you generally don't in week one. Brian Robinson will play. Austin Ekeler will play. Your third running back week one, I think you've got to go Jeremy McNichols for the pass protection. In case that Giants D-line starts eating you alive, you've got to have the guy who you know can get in front of a pass rusher, sacrifice his body, shut them down. So that's what that game calls for. I'm not throwing cold water on the Kroski Merritt situation. I think we're all going to love him in the preseason. I think it could be a find by Adam Peters. I'm just telling you right now, because you see a lot of like fantasy football players, you've got to pick this guy up. Make sure you don't leave your draft without Ja'Cory Kroski Merritt. Just know, MP says he's going to score 0 points in week one because he's not going to be on the active roster. Just know what you're getting into. If it's a futures league, maybe worth buying some shares. If it's a deep bench, stash him there. See what happens as the season goes on. You've got an injury-prone running back right now in Austin Eckler. It's not an insult. It's concussions. Those are the real deal. You've got a guy in Brian Robinson Jr. who underwhelmed at times last year. There will be playing time available. I'm just saying he's not going to get it in week one. A little bit of news before we get to the break, get to Parney. This from David Teal, who, of course, is on top of college sports. Old Dominion and Virginia Tech have modified their football series. So the original plan called for them playing every other year in Blacksburg, every other year in Norfolk. And this year, of course, is a year in Blacksburg. They have modified that. They are now not going to go play in Norfolk again. They will play three more in Blacksburg this year, next year, in 2030, but they've canceled the three games at ODU, the 27, the 29, and the 31. So the background on that, and that will cost them money, but the background on that is, at the request of Clemson and Florida State to keep them happy, ACC payouts are now based on how many TV viewers your game gets, in large part. The more popular teams will get paid more money each year by the ACC. And so this is a thinning of that. They got to get rid of some of these games that aren't going to be TV draws, and they got to try to replace it. They're playing South Carolina in the opener. I hate that because they're going to lose by 30, but I like that because everybody's going to watch. It'll look good on the money distribution. It's a little bit of a pay-to-play situation here. We'll dive into all that later, and as I mentioned, we'll be down in Blacksburg next Wednesday is the plan at the moment. Plan always subject to change around here. We're going to take a break. Parney joins on the other side. Parney's picks return. The triumphant return of Parney's picks. You're listening to Richmond's home for the Washington Commanders. This is 910 The Fan, now 105.1.
This is MP on the mic on Sports Radio 910 The Fan and 105.1 FM.
MP on the mic, 910 The Fan, 105.1 FM. We're worldwide on the free Odyssey app. We are your home for Washington Commanders training camp coverage. Busy day, busy week in Commanders land, just waiting on number 17 to sign, and then everything will be right with the world. We're also counting down to the expected vote tomorrow on the new RFK Stadium plan, RFK 2.0. There was a little kerfuffle on social media yesterday. Mark Seagraves, he's the reporter at NBC4 up there. He's working for you as opposed to the other stations. They don't care about you, but Channel 4 does. They're working for you. He was at the hearing where the Commanders shared that a big portion of the money they plan to generate will be from PSL fees. That's personal seat license fees. So just to recap, this is a thing teams are doing now where, and UVA basketball did this last year. We did a big segment about it then. VCU is doing something similar to this. You buy a seat license. What you get with a seat license is the right to buy tickets in that seat. So you buy the ability to purchase tickets. And this is red hot right now in sports. Because once somebody does it and it works, everybody's going to be doing it. I did the back of the envelope math. A lot of teams right now are charging about $15,000 when they open a new stadium for a seat license. So if you want to have season tickets to the Commanders in the new stadium, you pay $15,000 a seat, and then you can buy the tickets every year when they go on sale for whatever they charge for them. I see the gears spinning.
Yeah. So if you don't buy it, someone else, like for that game, are you buying the right to first sale on the chair?
Yes. They can't sell the ticket to anybody but you when it's time to sell the ticket.
Until a window, like, is there a window where you say no, or is it just empty if you don't buy it?
No, if you don't buy, they can sell it to somebody else. I don't know what the time.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, I don't know what the timing is, but, like, they don't give you until 3 minutes before the game to decide if you're going to buy the ticket or not. Yeah, you gotta decide in advance if you're buying the ticket. For that or not. They're also, like, they try to make it sound like you get everything. Like, when Beyonce comes to town, you'll also get first dibs on the ticket. But anything you actually want it for, it excludes. Like when the World Cup comes to town.
You don't have it for that?
No.
You're paying $15,000?
NCAA Final Four? Don't have it. Anything that's like those groups call their own shots, you don't have it for that.
And
you get it for like monster trucks and, you know, if Virginia Tech plays up there and things like that.
But you don't get it. You get the right to buy it like everyone else.
That's correct.
And it's renewed yearly?
No, you pay. That's
you
a one-time.
Okay.
One-time life okay. of the stadium.
I guess that's a little better. Barely.
Yeah. Until they tear that stadium down, that seat's yours at most events, but not the most popular ones. Super Bowl, you're not going to get your seat for the Super Bowl. That's
even
out.
If it's your team?
No, you're not going to get it. NFC title game, you would. If the Commanders hosted any playoff games, you would get the seat for that at whatever price they choose to charge you.
This is the worst thing I've ever heard.
It's an incredible piece of business acumen right there. They are charging people to be able to stand at the cash register and buy things.
This is like if Ticketmaster had a subscription fee to use Ticketmaster.
It's exactly...
Like you have to pay $20 a month.
No, nope, that's exactly what it is. Yeah. It's not a season ticket to the amphitheater. It's a subscription to be able to buy season tickets to the amphitheater.
And you can still buy tickets anyway.
Well, their thing is going to be so many people are going to do this. You're really taking your chances.
Are so many people going to do this?
I don't know. Because like 20 years ago, yes, of course they would. If Dan Snyder had invented this back when he bought the team in 91 when they built FedEx Field, everybody would have done it, right? Season ticket waiting list. You got to wait, you know, until your grandkids are old enough to have grandkids to be able to buy season tickets. Like the scarcity was a real thing. There's no scarcity right now, though. That's the question. How many people are coming back on the bandwagon just because of the new stadium, just because of the new opportunities? It's not zero. Right now, I don't know the number, but I would guess from my appearances at FedEx Field last year that they have about 40,000 season tickets out there. I think it's a 70,000 seat stadium. I think 40,000 of those seats are season tickets, and the other 30,000 are sold on a per game basis. Those 40, you figure, are coming over. They're coming to the... They've seen some stuff.
Right.
They've stuck with this team.
Yeah.
Do the roll call. They're not... Nothing's going to phase them. They're not leaving. But are 20,000 more people coming in? I don't know. Like, Jaden better be really good to hit those numbers.
I suppose you'd imagine that this number would slowly fill up over time. If it's a forever.
In terms of...
Owning the seat.
Oh, that people would come in
eventually
over time. Maybe the price would lower over time.
What happens if you die?
It's transferable.
It's transferable.
Oh, yeah.
How would they know?
Well, I guess you have to call and let them know. But like,
well, how would I...
From the funeral, yeah.
It's an important point. Like,
how do you call and let them know you're dead?
Yes.
Yeah.
If you don't buy a ticket for a year after owning the seat, do you have to check in?
I think death maybe moves a little more smoothly than you give it credit for. Like, lots of things transfer when you die every day, and those processes seem to work fluidly in life. For a long time, when you died, your Redskins season tickets rolled to your kids, right? That was part of the deal.
But you pay that every time.
Yeah.
There's not a payment being missed as a flag.
The season ticket payment?
The chair.
Well, you're still going to have to pay every year for the tickets, yeah.
Yeah, but you own the chair. Forever.
Until you bequeath it to somebody. What are we missing here?
Well,
it's a thing you own, and when you die, you give it to somebody. You put it in your will. So-and-so gets the chair.
What if I choose not to?
Put it in the will?
Yeah.
Then just whoever normally would get it gets it, right? The kids have to share it or whatever. I don't know how wills work. I've never died. Stub an MP, break down death. I don't know how wills work,
okay,
but this system has worked smoothly for 80 years.
The chair thing?
Giving people your season tickets to
But this is different.
It's not different.
It's different.
I fail to see how this is different in any way.
Because you're not paying every year.
You are still paying every year for the tickets.
but not for the seat.
Right. But every year they go to the person with the seat and they say, are you going to buy tickets this
year? That's what I'm asking.
They're still going to do that.
Hey, are you still there?
Right? You'd have to.
Okay.
Because you have to get that person's money for the year or get their no, either way.
Okay.
Yeah. I think the system will move smoothly. I think I don't know that we're giving a full enough credit there to what's going on. I want to sneak in the breaking news before we get to Dan Quinn, because Dan Quinn is going to be on the other side of the break here. Virginia Tech has bought out its series with Old Dominion, ODU down in Norfolk. Now, this series has been kind of wild from the get-go. ODU's had some success in this series, and they've played largely back and forth, 1 year in Blacksburg, 1 year in Norfolk. Now, you noted the TV broadcast, and it wasn't a TV broadcast. It was the internet broadcast.
ESPN Plus.
Yeah, it was an internet broadcast. It may have been one of the worst produced football games of all time. It was largely unwatchable.
Yeah. Yeah. I think we muted it because the audio was like genuinely like difficult to
somebody with handle. A Motorola Razr went out and filmed it, and then somebody else yelled into a tin can to provide color commentary. It was wild. So Virginia Tech is buying out the Norfolk half of that series to make room for some more high profile games to try to chase the dollar here in the ACC, because the new ACC payout system says if more people watch your games, you make more money. So we're going to have more of these games, like the South Carolina game, the kickoff game, the Chick-fil-A game, all those things we're doing. It came to my attention the other day, the South Carolina-Virginia Tech game is actually not a Chick-fil-A game. I've just been saying that. And that's how you get bang for your advertising buck, when people attribute things to you that aren't even yours. Apparently other companies sponsor kickoff games too. This will be a different company's kickoff game. Who is it? Nobody knows. We don't have time to figure it out. We're too busy working on wills over here. We're too busy untangling that with the lawyers. It is sad, because I love the Virginia Tech ODU series, full stop. I wish they would play JMU. Those are great series and lots of fun. I get it. If I were Whit Babcock, I'd do the exact same thing. You got to chase the dollar. You got to stay relevant. I get that. Virginia Tech football will be here before you know it. Labor Day weekend, right here on The Fan, you'll be hearing Virginia Tech taking on South Carolina in the Beamer Bowl. Looking forward to that. We'll get you ready for that in the weeks to come. We're going to get you back out to Ashburn on the other side here from Commanders coach Dan Quinn. We'll put a bow on this. We'll send you off to AWOD Radio in exactly 33 minutes. You're listening to Richmond's home for the Washington Commanders. This is 910 The Fan, now 105.1 FM.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.